Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. I'm glad you could join us today. As most of you know, if you follow this program, this is a message that's brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, which is an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. Our goal in bringing you this program is, number one, to preach the gospel. It's an evangelistic goal, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And the goal is also edification, that is, to build up true believers in the faith. And one of the main issues in edification is self-examination. So I urge you, as you listen to this program, to follow along in your Bibles, study your Bibles, to test what I'm saying to see if it's true. And I don't mind that at all. And the question that I'm going to be dealing with today is, who do you trust? Now, the title of the message is Trust in the Lord. That's the title of the message, Trust in the Lord. And it's from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, some of my favorite verses here. Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse 5. It says, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And it says, In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord. What is trust? Well, trust is a matter of God-given faith. Those who truly trust in the Lord are those of faith. They believe. They believe what? It's not just that they believe, but they believe something specific. Well, what do they believe? Well, they believe what God says. And this is beginning, this believing what God says has to do with believing what God says concerning salvation, concerning how God saves sinners, how God makes sinners right with himself. That's the issue of the gospel. That's the heart of the gospel. The heart of the gospel lies in answering this question, how can a holy, just, and righteous God forgive sinful people? Because God must punish sin. God is a just God. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. When he judges according to truth. God does not deal in pretense. He doesn't deal in fantasy. That's why when the gospel is preached, and I want you to understand this, when the true gospel is preached, you ought to be able to answer that question biblically, how God can be just and still justify, save, forgive sinners. There's got to be a way. Now, the simple answer to that, you say, well, it's by Jesus Christ. But what does that mean? Because when it says trust in the Lord, it means something specific. To trust in Him means to believe in Him. It means to rest in Him, rest in Christ for all of salvation, and rest in all that Christ accomplished for salvation. In other words, we trust in the Lord. The word Lord there is Jehovah. That's the transliteration. We could talk about the translations there, but what he's talking about God, our Savior. God who saves sinners. That name, the Lord, we talk about the name Jesus. Matthew 1:21, when the angel came to Joseph, and informed him not to put Mary away because of her pregnancy, because she the babe in her womb was conceived by the Holy Spirit without the aid of man. This was something special, something miraculous. And the angel said to Joseph in Matthew 1:21, "You shall call his name Jesus." And that means Savior, salvation. God saves. "For he shall save his people from their sins." Now, if I tell you that Jesus Christ is my salvation, and if you say he's your salvation, then I have to have adequate, valid grounds upon which to trust him. For example, if you trust in me for salvation, which I know you don't, but just as an example, if you would trust in me for salvation, I can tell you right now, it's a failure. Because I cannot save you. I can't even save myself. I can't save anybody. I'm not the Savior. If salvation were conditioned on me, then there's no salvation for any of us. If salvation were conditioned on you, there'd be no salvation for any of us. That's why the gospel is not a presentation of any part of salvation conditioned on sinners. Now, many, many people who claim to be Christian preach a conditional salvation. And here's what they say. They say, well, Christ died in order to make you savable, or to put you in a position where there is a possibility for you to be saved if you will meet certain conditions. Now, those conditions vary with various denominations. Some say, well, the condition is faith. You've got to believe. Well, it's true you have to believe. But is that the condition that we must meet of our own power, our own goodness, our own will, in order to attain or maintain salvation? Is that what the Bible teaches? Well, the answer is no. And yet, we must believe. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's what the Scripture says. He that believeth and is baptized. He that believes the gospel and confesses that in baptism, that's an evidence of salvation. Some say, well, it's faith plus repentance. Well, we must repent. Christ said, except you repent, you'll perish. You'll perish. Repent and believe the gospel, the Scripture says. Well, is that the condition we must meet in order to attain or maintain salvation? Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. And I'll explain this in just a moment. Some say, well, it's faith plus repentance plus good works or plus perseverance. There are denominations who claim to be Christian who say, if you don't persevere, you'll lose salvation. Is that what the Bible teaches? The answer is no. Must we who believe, must we persevere, continue? Yes. Yes. But there's a difference between claiming these things as conditions sinners must meet of their own power, their own goodness, or their own will in order to attain and maintain salvation, and these things as evidence of one who has been sovereignly empowered by the grace of God through Christ Jesus. You see, faith is not the condition that you and I must meet in order to be saved. Faith is the evidence of salvation by the grace of God, wherein Christ himself, by himself, in his obedience unto death for the sins of his people, fulfilled all conditions. Repentance is an evidence. Perseverance is an evidence. And you need to understand that. There's the ground of salvation, and then there's the fruit of salvation. Now, the question then comes down to this. Trust in the Lord. Who do you trust in? Or in what do you trust? Some trust in their works. I'm saved because I did this, or I'm saved because I did that. Some trust in their feelings and experiences. I'm saved because I experienced this back when I was a teenager, back when I was at a church camp. I had this experience. and therefore I know I'm saved. Well, my friend, you may have had an experience, but don't trust in that experience. Don't trust in your emotions. Don't trust in your feelings. Feelings come, feelings go. Feelings can be deceiving. You see, our hope is in the Word of God. It never changes. My feelings change. I'll have a lot of experiences, some good, some bad. But the Word of God is forever and ever the same. And the Word of God that shows me my sinful self, that I fell in Adam, that I'm born dead in trespasses and sins, and that if God doesn't step in and intervene, and by His divine electing grace, by His redeeming grace in Christ on the cross, and by His regenerating grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit in the new birth, you must be born again. If God doesn't step in and stop me and change my mind, my heart, my will, I'll never come to Him. Man by nature will not come to Christ of his own will. And those who teach that you can, that the fallacy, the heresy of free will, listen, man is a free moral agent. You have the freedom to choose whatever you desire. But the Bible teaches that man by nature will not desire the things that honor and glorify God in Christ. For example, man wants salvation. He wants forgiveness. He wants to be right with God. But he wants it his way on his own terms. That's the way we all are by nature. Well, what does God do in salvation? He changes our mind. He changes our will and makes it submissive to Him and His way of salvation, where we trust in the Lord. Is Jesus Christ able and willing to do what it takes to save His people? If He's able and He's willing, I can trust Him. Who is He? How do I know He's able? Well, I know who He is. He's God in human flesh, without sin. When that angel told Joseph about the name, "You shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." He went on in verse 23 to say, "His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." The Word, the eternal Word, the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's who Jesus Christ is. And that's why I can trust in the Lord with all my heart. Now, what is the heart there? Well, the heart is the mind, the affections, and the will. Now, is man's heart by nature a trusting heart? The answer is no. The Scripture teaches us that the heart is deceived, desperately wicked. The heart of man. The Scripture teaches that in order for me to trust in the Lord with all my heart, I have to be given a new heart. Do you have a new heart? Well, if you do, then the terms of Scripture in the gospel will not offend you, that you embrace them. The new heart is a heart made sorry and contrite over sin. Not just sins of action, but sins of thought, motive, the sins of all the things that are within us, and evil thoughts, motives, desires, the things that inspire us. But the new heart, the regenerated heart, the heart that is truly repentant and contrite over sin is also the heart that is sorry for even thinking that I could do anything to make myself right with God. As one old preacher said, that when the Scriptures talks about repentance, it talks about repentance of sins, plural. That's all that I think, say, and do without Christ. It brings repentance of sin. That's the sinful human nature that manifest itself in evil thoughts, evil desires, evil motives. And it means repentance of our own righteousness. You see, when sinners go about trying to work their way into righteousness, work their way into being right with God, that's an evil thing because it denies the glory and wisdom and power of God. It denies the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I can work my way to heaven, into God's favor, then I don't need Jesus Christ. What He did was in vain for me. That's what Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 2. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Why? Because Christ came, the Lord came, to establish the only righteousness whereby God could be just and justifier. Justify a sinner like me. You see, the forgiveness of my sins is not based upon what I do for God. It's not based upon my prayers. It's not based upon my confession. Now, should I be a praying man? Of course I should. If I know Christ, if I know the Lord, I should be a person who continually prays, an attitude of prayer. I should pray often. It's like breath. Should I confess my sins? Well, I do. Continue. I'm a sinner. And let me tell you the blanket confession of all sins. And I'm not, you know, people say, well, you ought to deal with individual sins. Well, we do as we know them. The psalmist said, forgive me of my secret sins. There's sins I commit. There's sins of omission. Do you know the fact that we cannot love God perfectly, continually, without interruption is a sin? But yes, we confess our sins. But here's the confession of all sin. My friend, I am nothing as far as my character and conduct before God as far as attaining righteousness. Now, I want to glorify God in the things that I say and think and do. I want to express love for Christ and love for His people and love for my neighbor. But if God were to judge me based on any of those things, I would be damned forever. Why? Because I have no righteousness but Christ. I trust in the Lord. Do you trust in the Lord? There are people who actually trust in their riches. And I believe mainly it comes this way. People believe, well, if they have a lot of money or a lot of possessions, or even if they have health, they think, well, that's the Lord blessing them. But my friend, those things could turn out to be a curse. Trust in the Lord. There are people who trust in their faith. I mentioned earlier about those who believe that they're saved based upon the fact that they believed. Well, see, salvation is not based on your faith. It's based upon the work of Christ on the cross. What are we to believe? That Christ fulfilled all the conditions, all the requirements, all that God required for my salvation. It's His blood alone that washes away my sins. Not my faith doesn't wash away my sins. His blood does. And that's where my faith is. I trust in the Lord. There are a lot of people who have faith in their faith. But you see, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He says, lean not unto thine own understanding. Well, people can sit around and speculate. They can opine, as one of the commentators on TV says. That means give your opinion. But that doesn't mean anything. You see, the Bible teaches us, like, for example, over in the book of Jeremiah 17, I quoted part of this earlier. But look at Jeremiah 17 and verse 5. The prophet Jeremiah speaking to the people of Israel, Judah and Jerusalem. And he says in Jeremiah 17:5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. To trust in man is a foolish thing. That's a curse. To trust in man for salvation, to trust in man for righteousness, to trust in man for forgiveness. Make flesh his arm. That flesh refers to anything that comes from us as human beings, whether it be moral, religious, or not. To make it your arm is to make it your power, your way of salvation. And in those who trust in man and make a flesh their arm, their heart departs from the Lord. That's a departure from the Lord. So that if you say salvation is conditioned on me, then you're trusting in man. You're making flesh your arm. You're departing from the Lord. He goes on to say, verse 6 of Jeremiah 17, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. You see, he's showing there the death that results in trusting in man. The dryness. The futility. Verse 7 of Jeremiah 17. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. The certain expectation of salvation, of forgiveness, of final glory through Jesus Christ. Verse 8 says, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful, not be anxious in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. You see that? That's the issue of trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Back over in Proverbs 3, he says in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. In other words, those who trust in the Lord attribute their whole salvation not to themselves, not to their works, not to their emotions and experiences, not even to their faith. But by faith, they attribute it all unto Christ. All of Him. Salvation is of the Lord. And this is the understanding that God the Holy Spirit gives a sinner when he brings that sinner to faith in Christ, to trust in the Lord. Over in the book of 1 John, where John is talking about what it means to trust in the Lord. In verse 18, he says, of 1 John 5, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. What he means there in the context is that they do not forsake Christ. They cling to Christ. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. If you're born of God, you'll keep yourself in Christ, not by your own power, but by the grace of God. And he says, and we know that we are of God, that's verse 19, and the whole world lieth in wickedness, or in the wicked one. In verse 20, we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. We know God who is faithful, and we are in him that is true. We are in him that is faithful, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. This is what it means to trust in the Lord. And so I would ask, in whom are you trusting? This is one of the main points of self-examination. Examine yourselves, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 13, whether you be in the faith. Are you truly trusting in the Lord? Am I truly trusting in Him? Or am I looking elsewhere? The Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 that we who are saved are to run the race of grace, this Christian race, looking unto Jesus, the author, that is the originator, the beginner, and the finisher, the completer of our faith. In other words, we're never to look to ourselves for salvation. We're never to look to ourselves for righteousness. We're never to look to ourselves for assurance. We're never to look to ourselves for reward. We're to look to Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's what it means to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now, should we strive to be obedient, to be loving, to be kind, to be generous, charitable, to be helpers of people? Should we strive to be all of it? Yes. But we don't trust in those things. We don't trust in our obedience. We don't trust in our love. We trust in the love of God. Herein is love, 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The us there is His people who believe. Propitiation means a sin-bearing sacrifice that brings satisfaction to all the requirements and conditions of God's law. Christ is the propitiation. So yes, every true believer should strive to be like Christ in his attitude, in his motives, in his desires, in his actions. We should strive to be the best people we can be, but not in order to be saved, not in order to establish our own righteousness before God by which we're justified. True believers who trust in the Lord with all their heart and lean not to their own understanding should do all those things because Christ has already accomplished everything that God requires to attain and maintain the salvation of His people. Trust in the Lord. And in doing that, that's when a sinner, by grace, by God's grace, is brought to faith in Christ and acknowledges Him. In other words, don't acknowledge me. You see, people say, well, I want to make a name for myself. Well, not in this area. You see, I don't want to make a name for myself. I want you to look to the name which is above every name, the name Jesus Christ. I want to point you to Christ. I don't want to point you to me. I'm preaching to you, and you know my name, but I'm not pointing you to me for salvation. I don't want you to acknowledge me. I want you to acknowledge the Lord God for all salvation, for all forgiveness, for all righteousness, for all glory. For He is salvation. Trust in the Lord. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.